Oh, Mushar phone. Very good. What's his other phone? All right. Shalom Aleichem. My name is Rabbi Yitzchak Feigenbaum. I am not the principal at the Tiferes Beis Yaakov, notwithstanding what the sign says, but I do know a lot of girls, so you can see me afterwards if that's important. All right? But I am the former principal at the Tiferes Beis Yaakov because I decided I wanted to be one of those principals who leaves and retires while everybody likes them, rather than gets wheeled out the door while they're still talking and has no idea what he's talking about. So I retire. So here's the aside. The aside of everything that we're going to do this evening is based on the following riddle. Don't answer, you just think about the question. Here's the riddle. Pay attention. You got three frogs sitting on a lily pad. One frog decides to jump off. How many frogs do you have left on the lily pad? We'll do that again. Three frogs sitting on a lily pad. One frog decides to jump off. How many frogs you have left sitting on the lily pad? Now you're saying, hey, this is yeshiva. We've got a base tradition. We got shtenders. We wear white shirts. We want a tzvar Torah. Don't give us like riddles and stuff, man. We want a kasha. We want a teretz. Okay, so you hang on to that. The riddle's important. What's important about the riddle is when we come to the answer, you know we're finally done, okay? So now, so you want a kasha, we're going to do a kasha. It's about time. We have a kasha. Here's the kasha. You ready? Here it goes. Kasha's like this. Parshas Bechukosai, the first 10 psukim, Bechukosai is by and large the tochacha. Right, there's not going to be rain, and there's going to be stuff's going to be bad. But it starts at the end, Bechukosai Teilechu, if you follow the mitzvahs, Gishmecha Mitam, there'll be rain, and you'll eat Lasova, and everything's going to be handy-dandy. First 10 psukim of Parshas Bechukosai is all the bracha. In the first 10 psukim of Parshas Bechukosai, when describing all the wonderful things that are going to happen if you follow the mitzvahs, there's no letter Samach. I see you're astounded by that. There's no letter Samach. Not only that, but in Maisa Brachos, in the entire Maisa Brachos, in the beginning of Parshas Chumash Brachos, in the entire Maisa Brachos, there's no letter Samach. And our question is, why? Now, if that doesn't impress you, that's okay. Someday you'll be at a really boring shidduch. You want to make sure she doesn't want to continue. So you'll just like throw those thoughts and say, go ahead, tell me where there's no letter Samach in the Chumash. She'll think you're off your rocker. And that'll be the end of it. It's a nice way to get rid of her. So just keep it in the back. You never know. It's always a good thing. You had a Shabbos table. It's a little boring. People don't understand who you. Just throw that out and it'll impress people. Okay, but that's our question. Now, as all good speakers, you ask a question, then you talk about something else completely for the next 15, 20 minutes, and hopefully everyone will forget to even ask the question. So we're going to change the topic completely. I want you to stick with me on this. You're going to have to use your imagination. 10th grade girls can do this. You guys can do this, okay? I want you to use your imagination. You have to imagine the following. You ready? I want you to imagine the following. I want you to imagine that I have just died, and up I'm going to base in Chalmila. In my high school, when I did this, it went over very well, okay? Everybody was happy, all right? There I am in Beis in Chalmila. There's the Amishur sitting in the Kisei Akuma, and there's the angel on each side, and I walk in. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Feigenbaum. And I go, huh? The Amishur says, okay, Feigenbaum, tell me something good you've done. I said, good. I thought, well, this is real good. Sarah said, different. I've heard of Zara. I've heard of Zara. It's like one of the worst things you can do. I said, you know what, Kadosh Baruch Hu? I never bowed down to idols. I never bowed down to an idol. Do you know what Kadosh Baruch Hu would say if I would say that? He would say, Feigenbaum, that's very nice. But like, nobody really does that anymore. How about something else? I'll say, something else? I got something else. Kashrus. Says, you know what, Kadosh Baruch Hu? I never ate a cheeseburger in my whole life. Do you know what Kadosh Baruch Hu would tell me if I'd say that? He would say, Feigenbaum, that's very nice. But like, I created you lactose intolerant. You couldn't have eaten a cheeseburger anyway. Rav Dessler tells us an important yesod. He tells us in Nekudas HaBechira that we are judged subjectively, not objectively. What does it mean we're judged subjectively, not objectively? I keep Shabbos. Now, to be honest, when I grew up, I didn't know anybody who didn't keep Shabbos. I liked Shabbos. I would lose my job if I didn't keep Shabbos. I'm good with Shabbos. I never thought twice about keeping Shabbos. My father, Oliver Shalom, who grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, in the early 1900s, And he went to Ohio State University in Columbus, and they didn't like Jews in Columbus, Ohio in the 1920s. And the entire exams are on Saturday. It's a six-day week. And he gets there, and this is all the exams are on Saturday. And he tells his friends, what are you going to do, man? It's Shabbos. And they said, thank you, Mom, it's 1920. You got to get with the program. Just write the exam. It'll be okay. And he said, I'm not going to write the exam on Shabbos. See, petitioned his congressman, he wrote to his senator, he made a petition to the president of the university, he got the entire exam schedule changed, no exams on Saturday, in Ohio State University in Columbus, Ohio, in the 1920s. He chose to keep Shabbos. I never chose to keep Shabbos. So, I made Kiddush, and that's a mitzvah, but to say that I'm really raising my spiritual level because I keep Shabbos, like, shkoyach, right? Now, you're probably thinking, Rav Feigenbaum, no offense, but you're an old, overweight guy with a gray beard. Like, what do you struggle with anyways anymore? That's okay. I hear that. So the truth is, I struggle. I have Satan in my house. Now, Satan doesn't look like a little red guy with a pitchfork and a tail. Satan looks like the snooze button on my alarm clock. The alarm goes off, I gotta go to shul. Yeah, I gotta have redavity. And the snooze button says, push me. And I said, no, I gotta go to shul. I wanna say karbonos, I gotta put on my towels and fill in, I wanna get a diamond like a mensch. He says, what's the matter with you? You're very tired, aren't you? I said, yeah, I'm really tired. He said, you have a headache? Like, oh, a really bad headache. You can't daven, we have a headache. No, I said, can't really hard to have a headache. And you got plenty of time. They never start on time. You make all the green lights. Don't worry about it, man. Like, you got to daven like a man. You have a little more sleep. You'll daven better. Yeah, that's a good idea. Shit, the snooze button. Go back to sleep. Bam, the alarm goes off again. And the snooze button says, push me. And I said, no, I got to get going. It's getting late now. He says, what are you talking about? Don't you tell your students better to daven less but with kavanah than more without kavanah. So, like, you need to do that. Besides the fact, how do you feel? I said, oh, pretty bad. Headache. You're the principal of the Beis Yaakov High School. You'll go to school, you'll have a headache, you'll scream at a girl, she'll be upset, she'll go off the derrick, it'll be your fault. You gotta get your sleep, man. And I go, oh, you're right, man. Shit, the snooze button. Lock goes off again! And says, no, no, you be quiet now, man. I gotta get out of here. I get dressed, race to shul, make all the red lights, get to 2 minutes late, some lunatic is davening like a rocket ship, I have to skip half a psuka to Zimra, my davening stinks! And I get to Shemayim. You know what Kachem Baruch is going to say? Feigenbaum, that was a terrible davening. I'm going to say, that was a terrible davening. I put on tefillin every day, okay? I go to shul every morning just about, okay? There's people who don't daven at all. There's people who don't never put on tefillin in their lives. Like, give me a break. I put on tefillin, I daven. Okay, so it was a lousy davening. It was a lousy davening. All the people out there don't daven at all. You know what Kachem Baruch is going to tell me? You daven every day. You don't daven every day. I had you born in a relatively normal family. You had a good Jewish education. After high school, you went to Eretz Yisrael to learn in yeshiva. You understand Hebrew. Your God-given nature is that you enjoy davening. As a total aside, davening, like many other things, is a God-given nature. Some people are naturally a good at, let's say, Bikur Cholim. They love going to old age homes and talking to the old guys and schmoozing, and they're fun, and they're so cute. And other people say, man, like it smells, I can't go there, I can't do that. Right? Right? And it's a God-given nature. Some people are just naturally good at it. Some people like just organize, and they put together the whole Kiddush, and they're really good, and other people are just, they can't do it. Davening is a God-given nature. Some people really enjoy it, and they're good at it, and some people, it will always be a struggle for their whole life. It's just hard. Just like they're not organized, or they just don't have good social skills. So, you know, chesed involving social skills are hard. It's hard for them to get up and greet somebody new who walks in. It's just they're uncomfortable with it. Some people are uncomfortable with davening. So I gave you a God-given nature that was actually comfortable with davening. You enjoy davening. Your language skills are good. You know Hebrew. You grew up davening. Of course you daven every day. God arranged that. Your job was to get there 10 minutes early, say karbonos and daven like a normal human being, and you blew it. And I'm going to be in trouble for that because you judge subjectively. And right now you're thinking, poor Rabbi Feigenbaum, he's going to get to Shemayim, and he's worried that God's going to be upset with him because he came late to davening. That should be my biggest problem. You know who you're talking to. You understand what's going on, man? Like, you ever meet my mother? You know what my home is like? Hey, you know what my second phone that I don't have supposedly looks like? Like, what are you talking about? Like, you know what I'm dealing with? You know, my socks are happy, but I ain't, and life stinks. You're worried about davening. You know what, my friends? I have my struggles, you have your struggles, they're all the same. It makes absolutely no difference. That's what Rav Dessler says. You become a hero by conquering your struggle. Listen to a peladic of words that Rav Dessler brings down from the altar. Pasuk says, Vayeskar Elokim es Avram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered Avram, and he saved Lot. Rashi on the spot says, wait a pasuk, wait a minute, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered Avram and he saved Lot? It should say he remembered Lot and he saved Lot. Right? What do you mean he remembered Avram and he saved Lot? Says Rashi on the spot, oh, why did Lot get saved? HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered what he did for Avram. What did he do for Avram? Well, Avram and Sarah are on their way down to Mitzrayim, and Avram Avinu was really nervous because Sarah is very beautiful and power is going to like take her. So Avram has a brilliant plan. He said, listen, everybody, tell everybody that I'm her brother. If I'm her brother, then they're going to negotiate to marry her when we'll stall everybody till we get out of here. If they know I'm her husband, they'll just kill me and take her. Lot knew the truth. Lot could have done the following. He could have gone over to Paro and went, psst, Paro.
Yeah.
See the girl?
Yeah.
Pretty, huh?
Yeah.
You want to marry her?
Brother's like a tough guy, man. He's like really a tough guy.
It's not her brother, man. It's her husband. Really? He said, yeah, just kill the old guy, and then you negotiate with me. I'm her closest relative. We can make a deal. Lot could have made a lot of money. Could have made a lot of money. Now, in order to make a lot of money, he would have had to basically stab Avram Avinu in the back and sell Sarah to a scumbag like Paro, which is quite disgusting, but he could have made a lot of money. Nebuch, believe it or not, he struggled with that. Like, what a sugar. What a maneuver. That's how embarrassing is that? You struggled with that? Like, you really thought of doing that? What kind of low-life zero are you?
But that was Lot. Lot struggled with money. And believe it or not, he seriously contemplated stabbing Avram in the back, getting him killed, so he can make a bundle of dough selling Sarah to a maneuver like Paro.
But he did it! That's who saved him. Asked the altar, what are you talking about? Lot had a much bigger mitzvah. These two angels come to town. He doesn't know they're angels. They're in the middle of the street. Lot goes over and says, hey, guys, you can't stay in the street, man. They're going to kill you. You got to come to my house. That's a capital offense. They kill people in Sodom for doing that. And as a matter of fact, remember the story? The entire city surrounds the house. And if those guests wouldn't have blinded everybody, Lot would have been dead. He risked his life for two strangers, Mesirus Nefesh Vachnas Asorkim. So let's take his two good deeds.
Mesirus Nefesh Vachnas Asorkim, what a story. How inspiring.
And he didn't kill Avram to sell Sarah to power to make a bundle of dough. How disgusting. Which one saved him? On an objective scale, Mesirus Nefesh Vachnas Asorkim is obviously greater than not killing Avram and selling Sarah, thank you very much. But on a subjective scale, Lot grew up in the house of Avram Avinu. Vachnas Asorkim was second nature. That's how he was raised. He did it by rote. He sees two strangers in the street. You take them in. That's what you do. It wasn't a struggle. He didn't think twice. I mean, that's what you do. So it was a great mitzvah. But it did not represent any movement out of his comfort zone. It did not represent any climb up the rungs on the ladder. On an objective scale, it was amazing. On a subjective scale for Lot, it didn't mean much at all. And if there's the only thing he had going for him, he would have died in stone with everybody else. What kept him alive was the ruchnius that he acquired for himself by moving out of his comfort zone, doing what was hard for him, even though it's almost embarrassing to admit that he even struggles with it. Because you're judged subjectively. The harder it is for you, the greater the reward. What makes something hard for somebody? Two things. Your own personal tavis, your own personal nature. Everybody's into different stuff. More importantly, in your generation, in Ikvas of the Mashiach, what makes things hard for you is the fact that most of the things that you are struggling with, no one will ever pat you on the back and say, wow, you're amazing, what a great guy.
I had a young lady walk into my office once.
My parents don't appreciate anything. They don't know how far I've come. They don't know what I've done. They don't know how hard to work. All they get is,
I'm the guy, you should watch. Did you watch Nickel Buster? I'm the guy, the benching was a little quick. I'm the guy, did you dive in there?
Like, they don't appreciate all the stuff. They don't appreciate where I've come.
I said, well, listen, Abigail, why don't we do the following? Why don't we tell them about all the junk that you've been involved in that they never knew about, that you Borksham don't do anymore, and they'll be so impressed. I said, well, are you crazy? It'll kill me. I said, I know. The schar of conquering a struggle, which is never going to make it into a touch by a storybook. You may not even be able to tell the adults in your life about it. I deal with high school kids. So what are they supposed to do? Go to their parents and say, aren't you proud of me? I know, da, 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 da. That's great. You're expelled. Right? You know, that's what's going on. This generation struggles with things that, for by and large, when you climb up and move out of your comfort zone, in whatever area it might be, it's not something that you can say, I'm a big Sonic man, look what I did. Well, I edited this film, I did it, it's not. But that's exactly what makes you a hero. My students just walked into my office and said, you know, Ray Feigenbaum, you don't have any of our artwork on the walls. You know, these girls, high school, they're always painting things, color wars and things, you know, right? Right? Yeah, I always said that if they could introduce color war into the Masiftas and yeshiva high schools in America, probably save a lot of neshamas, right? But, so they said, you don't have any of our artwork. I said, pay me something, I'll put it up. They came in a few weeks later with a big, tall painting. It was a painting of a ladder, and on it they wrote, it doesn't count what rung you're on. What counts is how hard you climbed to get there. Your shot? Doesn't count what rung you're on. So great, you were born on rung 40 out of 50 of parents, and you're born, made sure you're born, amazing. And so look, your starting point is amazing. But if you're born on rung 40 and you die on rung 40, what did you accomplish? Other people were born on rung 20 or 25 or 30. And maybe they were born on rung 25, but circumstances had them slip down to rung 15. But they fought their way back up, and they're going to die on rung 30. But they climbed 15 rungs. You're judged subjectively. Doesn't count what rung you're on. It counts how hard you climbed to get there. And the less that you can publicize and talk about, the less public accolades and rewards and pats on the back you get for your climb, the more schar you get in Olam Haba, because you're not getting the covet in Olam Hasa. Because no one's saying, wow, superstar. Look at guy, look at the test. Wow, look at, I got 100. Wow, look at that. Look at that. Wow, look at, he's in the basement until 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it's a great thing. I'm not saying you shouldn't be in the basement until 2 o'clock in the morning. But all the things that don't appear to be something to brag about, it saved Lot's life. That's what you're judged subjectively, not objectively. You got to move out of your comfort zone. Why is it so important to move out of your comfort zone? Like, I'm not doing bad, man. Okay, so I was born in rung 20, and I'll die in rung 20, and rung 20 ain't so bad. There's a lot of people on rung 4, you know what I mean? Like, some people ain't even on the ladder. Because there's no letter samach in all the brachos. There's no letter samach in my sabreshes, because what's a samach? A samach is a circle. So you're going around and around and around and around in a circle, and you're not getting anywhere. You're safe. But there's no bracha. You want gishmechen be itam, chaltam lasoiva. You want all the brachos in the beginning of Parshas Bechukosai. You want to be Maisa Bracious. You want to create something in this world. You want to make a difference in this world. You can't be a Samach. You can't go round in circles and be afraid. You can't be afraid to bite the bullet, step out of the comfort zone in whatever area it might be, and make a stab at it. And you will fail. I hope you'll fail. Because if you don't crash back a little bit, then you weren't really serious. Because you can't be a success without failure. Shevi pol tzadik v'kam, says Rav Hertner. Doesn't simply mean that the tzadik falls seven times and gets back up. What makes a tzadik, the fact that he gets back up, tzadikim get back up. Says Rav Hertner, you don't become a tzadik by failing. The way you become a tzadik is by failing. Listen to a Peledika Kutzker. Show you what leadership is. You want to be leaders wherever you end up. What's a leader? Says the Kutzker like this. Yaakov Avinu's done. All the boys are standing around saying, well, what's going to happen? And he starts with Reuven. Reuven's a bechor. Reuven's a big shot. Reuven's the charger. He's getting everything, right? He says, Reuven, pachas kabayim alto, so you're not getting anything extra. You blew it. You're out, 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 out. Double, Gordish. You're not getting double nothing. He should have been the king. Bechor, out, nothing, zero. He's out. Oh, man. Who's going to be the king? If Bechor is not the king, who's going to get it? Well, says the Kutzker, they probably assumed it would be Yosef. He's a Bechor of Rachel, so that he deserves something for that, right? He's been king in Mitzrayim, and his last name is Tzadik, right? Avram Avinu, Sari Menu, Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron HaKohen, Yosef Ha, Tzadik. He's a Tzadik. He was in Mitzrayim, 49th level of Tuma. He had that temptation with the wife of Potiphar, and he didn't do anything wrong. He conquered his struggle. He didn't mess up. He's the man! But he doesn't get it. Who gets it? Yehuda! Yehuda! Yehuda's a loser! Why does Yehuda get it? Yehuda had the same kind of struggle, and he blew it with Tamar! Came to the cell and gives Yosef, for the brothers tell Yehuda, you messed up, man. What'd you tell us to do that for? Look, our father's falling apart. You're an idiot. What'd you tell him to sell us for? You should have told us not to do that. Vayered Yehuda mi'esechav. They put him down. They lowered him down. He lost his position. Yehuda made a mistake, but Yehuda did tshuva and got back up. Says the Kutzker, the Gemara tells us, you don't appoint a parnes al hatzibur, you don't appoint anybody to a position of leadership unless they have a kupas shrutzim tolui me'achorav. Unless they have a kupa, a little bag of shrutzim, of vermin and bugs hanging on their back, unless they have a past. You can't be the leader of the Jewish people if you're Yosef HaTzadik. That's a different kind of leadership, possibly. And we need our Yosef HaTzadiks. But out there to be a king, to be in the community and make a difference to people in the world, you got to have a kupa shrutzim, man. You got to have a past that you conquered. People have to understand that you understand what it is to struggle and mess up and dust yourself off. Have the courage to say, I blew it, I'm a jerk, but I'm going to be better tomorrow. Get back up and do your thing. And you're judged subjectively, not objectively. The subjective is how hard it is to get to the rung that you're at. That's leadership. But if you're just safe, round and around, Baruch Hashem, Mitzchem, Baruch Hashem, Mitzchem, do the right thing, da 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 da, okay, right, you know, just do what you gotta do, just do what you gotta do, put on your tefillin, say the right words, go to the right yeshivas, right, you know, just keep it up for long enough so that your resume sounds good and your friends good things, you can marry some girl who hopefully is not as just like you, is also not sincere, and you'll raise a home which will be as hypocritical as you swore would never be, and you'll have kids who will be messed up and they'll say, why? Because you're a hypocrite. And they'll say, no, I'm not. Actually, yes, you are. I said, yes, I am. Right, and then it'll keep the cycle going. It'll be good. You don't want to be the letter samach. There's no bracha. Brachas have no letter samach. No creation with the letter samach. What's the one trick to make sure you do this? Three frogs sitting on a lily pad. One frog decides to jump off. How many frogs left on the lily pad? Three. Deciding to jump off doesn't get you anywhere, man. You want to get off the lily pad? Don't decide to jump off. Jump! People are always deciding to jump off the lily pad. Oh, I'm going to jump off that lily pad, man. I'm going to just, right? So, you know, not before Ben Azman. I might want to have a fun Ben Azman. I'm going to do it, you know, after Ben Azman. Right? Don't make decisions before Ben Azman. That's ridiculous. Right? I'm going to do it after Ben Azman. No, second year, third year. You know, when I get married, you know, when I have kids, then I'll have to... Don't decide to jump off the lily pad. Jump off the lily pad. But I'm going to crash. I'm not going to keep it up. Okay, so you'll fall. Shevi pol tzadik v'kam. You're going to fall seven times and get back up. That's okay. Everyone's always deciding to jump off the lily pad. The people that get into the water are the people that actually jump and do it. One exercise to end with. Wake up in the morning, we say, hey, you go to these tourist traps, right? Maybe before you go back to America, right? You see, they have these little alarm clocks. You ever see them? They used to have them all the time. Alarm clocks, a little alarm clock, and it goes, and the alarm goes up, goes, Modani lefanacham elachai. Boom, you hit it in the head, right? And stops talking, right? Modani lefanacham elachai v'kayim. We thank you, everlasting King. Shechzarta bi nishmasi b'chebla. You gave my neshama back to me with great mercy. Rabba emuna secha. Your emuna, we tell a Kadosh Baruch Hu, your emuna is very great. What do you mean your emunah is very great? We have emunah in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What does a Kadosh Baruch Hu believe in? He believes in you. He woke you up in the morning, he believes that you make a difference. He believes that the struggle that you're facing, as inconsequential as it might seem in the global scope of Klal Yisrael, he believes that that struggle is crucial to the balance of Kedusha in the world in order to make a Tikkun Olam, in order to be able to create the balance of Kedusha we need to bring Mashiach. Because if your struggle wasn't important, you wouldn't be here. If it was done, you're done, you finished, good, great job. Round of applause, standing ovation, ticker tape parade, and goodbye. He woke up in the morning. He believes that your struggle is crucial. And more importantly, he believes you can do it. Because if he didn't think you can do it, he said, forget it, he's not going to do it anyway. Let's get rid of him, bring him back as a Google, try it again. But if you're still here, that means he does believe you can do it. So when you wake up in the morning, and you say, thank you for waking me up. That was a great mercy you gave my neshama back to me, because you're right, I probably was not the best I could have been yesterday. But thanks for giving me another shot. Rabo emuna secha. Your emuna, your belief in me is very great. You think I'm important. You think my struggles are crucial to the balance of Kedusha in the world. And you think I can do it. All you got to do is believe in yourself as much as the Kadosh Baruch Hu believes in you, and you can change the world. Thank you very much.